Lord.
Okay, praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And today we carry on with our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in the book that we have been looking, we've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were able to see that all these are function of one and the same Spirit. The Bible tells us 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4, and where we can read, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. By the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So one of the things that we are able to say is that God has given, through his Holy Spirit, different kinds of gifts. And not only are there gifts, there are also levels of service. There are diversities of ministries. Ministries is services, like leaders, people who help people, helps, givers, all these things. These are different types of ministries. But then there are also different types of operations, how God works out miracles, how God, you know, does mighty wonders. So all these things, they are diversities. But one of the things that God says is that all of these gifts are given for the profit of all. And it is a manifestation of the Spirit. What does manifestation mean? Manifestation means that when someone has, like when you think of the wind, you cannot be able to touch the wind or to trap the wind, but you can be able to, you cannot be able to see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. Likewise, with the Holy Spirit, you may not be able to see the Holy Spirit as a person or as, because he is a spirit, but you may be able to see the effect of the Holy Spirit. So whenever we speak of manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we speak and say that these are evidences that the Holy Spirit is working in someone's life. And so one of the things that we see, and when we're saying that, when we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we say that we are able to classify these gifts of the Holy Spirit into three. We've listed 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we classified them into three. We said they are gifts of revelation. Now, the gifts of revelation, this is the word of wisdom, and we said the word of wisdom is direction. Direction, God is giving you wisdom. You know what to do. You know, you're asking God for word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is knowing what to do. Then there is word of knowledge, which is information that God has given you about something or a situation supernaturally. Like whenever you find a prophet can ask you, what is wrong with your mother? Is your mother sick? Now, you are not told the prophet that your mother is sick, but God has given that prophet the word of knowledge that your mother is sick. And then based on that, then they were able to, God is able to command a word of healing, and by that you are able to be healed. So that is word of knowledge. Then there is also the third gift of revelation is discerning of spirits or distinguishing of spirits. And that one we were able to study that there are four kinds of spirits that we interact with. There is the spirit of man, there are evil spirits, there are spirits of angels, and there is the Holy Spirit. So all those are four levels of spirits that we interact with in our Christian walk or as human beings. And the discerning of spirits is a gift that is able to discern. And we said it is not necessarily seeing with your eyes, that is your spiritual eyes open to see the spirits, but to be able to know the movement of the Holy Spirit at this point, or you can sense an evil spirit that is maybe in an area, or you can be able to discern even the spirits of men. You know that this is a right person to be a friend with, or this is a wrong person to be a friend with. Then the second classification of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the gifts of power. Now, whenever we speak of the gifts of power, here is the gifts of faith, and here is supernatural power. You have supernatural confidence in God that people think you are mad. You know, when you have the gift of faith, you speak things that someone will be like, but you, why are you saying you're going to do this? Which confidence are you getting from? But that is a gift of faith. And when you find that you're operating in the gift of faith, you know that it is supernatural confidence that comes from you. And we say that the gifts of faith is what unlocks the gifts of miracles and the gifts of healings. So the gifts of power are three: the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, or the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. So when faith starts from the word of God. So anyone that God gives this supernatural faith must be a student of the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So when God gives you his word, it builds your faith. You know, when you've understood something about God, like let's say, I mean, like we've been talking about when you know you are a child of God and that God is your father and you believe it, then you can rest in the confidence that God will take care of your needs. Now, that faith did not come from wishful thinking. That faith came from a confidence in God and a confidence in the word of God. So when you have the gift of faith, it is able to lead you into miracles. It's also to lead you into healing. So faith comes from the word of God. So whenever you lack direction, or whenever you feel like something is not changing, then you must activate the gift of faith. But how do you activate the gift of faith? By meditating on the word of God. So you just go and search all the scriptures about healing, all the scriptures. Let's say if it's a child that is sick, you go and search all the promises that God has given about children. When he says children are a gift from the Lord, when he says the children of the blessed, they shall be mighty in the land. You know, when he says they have seen the righteous forsaken, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging for bread. Now, the more you meditate on these words, you just go and start reflecting on these words, then that gift of faith rises, and then you start to declare, you know what, my child is going to be well, I'm going to be healed, I declare a miracle, I declare open jobs. Now, there, when you look at the gifts, now when we say faith, everyone has faith. I mean, as a Christian, you need the saving faith, but the person that has the gift, it is now supernatural, and it even goes beyond what people, even believers, will call normal. Then we looked at the third classification of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we say these are the gifts of speech, or the vocal gifts. Now here we have the gifts of tongues, we have the interpretation of tongues, and we have prophecy. We started with prophecy, and we say that prophecy is speaking the mind of God, receiving the mind of God and speaking it to a people. That means that you're praying, let's say you've been asked to go and preach, and then you pray, and then God gives you a word, and then that is by revelation, he reveals to you what you're going to share, and then when you go and preach to the people, then they are able to understand, and they are able to have the mind of God. But also, prophecy also can happen right in the moment when you're preaching. You can just start preaching, and then God starts to give you an inspiration over someone. Like I remember there was a time where a pastor is preaching, and then he says, there is someone here who, you know, is struggling with this. God is saying that you're going to move forward, and this is going to happen over your life. Now that is prophecy by inspiration. And the thing about prophecy comes to inspire us. It comes to edify us, to build the church, edification. It comes for exhortation, which is encouragement, to stir. And then it also comes for comfort, to comfort us. So whenever prophecy is taking place, it does three things: edification, which is building up the church. It does exhortation, which is encouraging the church. And then it also comforts, which is to cheer up the church. And then we say that the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues, they work hand in hand. So the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues must be done together for it to be equal to prophecy. Because when you speak in tongues, no one understands you, but you speak mysteries to God. Remember, God is spirit. And when you speak in tongues, you build yourself. That means you edify yourself. And we've kept saying this, that as a believer, when God has given you the gift of tongues, and the gift of tongues is ideally for every believer, but not every believer does it, because it is in the exercise of your faith. So when you exercise your faith, then you are able to, not to build your faith, to speak in tongues, to speak mysteries. You build your own spirit. Remember, we speak about gymming. You know, when you go to the gym, you build your body. When you read books, you build your mind. When you pray in tongues and you read the word of God, you build your spirit. So always think like that. Are you building your spirit? Many times people are professors. They have built their minds. People go to the bodybuilders. They have built their bodies. But then they ignore that their spirits also need to be built up. And one of the ways that God has assured us that you are edified, you edify yourself, or you build up your spirit, is by praying in the spirit and praying in tongues. So praying in tongues is very important. And we say that this is an aspect of your will. Paul said, I will pray in tongues and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing in tongues, or I will also sing in my understanding. So I will give thanks. So all these things are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, this, we're going to today summarize, and we'll look at what are the purposes of the gifts, and just a reminder about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we were able to say a number of things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We said number one is that they are gifts. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. That means that they are given by the work of the Holy Spirit. The person that has the gift did not work for it. But what happens is that the more you exercise the gift, the more you grow in the gift, the more you grow in understanding of the gift, and the more you grow in knowledge and in power and in understanding of the gift. Now, the gift also comes to every believer. That means God has assured us that He's given to each and everyone by the Holy Spirit. We all receive at least one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I always keep encouraging us that you must always keep asking yourself, of these nine gifts, or gifts of ministries, or gifts of workings of the Holy Spirit, which one is it that I have, and which one am I working on, or which one is it that I desire to have? Because the Bible says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So as you desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God is able to minister them to you because they come from Him. The question is, what are you going to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit when He gives to you? Now, another important aspect about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that, remember, they are manifestations. That means that they produce evidential results that we can see. So whenever someone says they have the gift of miracle is happening, we are going to see a supernatural work that will happen, that will prove to us that God is alive. You see, when a healing happens that you can see, or someone is raised from the dead, that one cannot be done by a human. That is only done by the supernatural power of God. So the Holy Spirit uses the gifts to point us to Himself. It is not to point us that, oh, this is such a great man of God. No. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point us to God, and they manifest the presence of God, the power of God in our lives. And lastly, also, that the gifts of God are supernatural. That means they are over and above what you study in school. They are over and above what you do by medicine, or by what? By human, you know, trickery and all that. But these are supernatural. So these gifts of the Holy Spirit are necessary, and the Bible is showing us that they are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So it's very important that we know and that we see that these gifts of the Holy Spirit are given supernaturally. They are for the purpose of building the body of God, they are supposed to show us how we are interdependent, you know. So one person might have the gifts of healing, another person might have the gifts of prophecy. So if you are struggling with healing, you will go to the person that has the gifts of healing, and the person will pray for you. Yes, the Bible commands all of us to pray for one another for healing. But one thing you will realize, for some people who have been given the gift, it comes easily. So what you do is you humble yourself and you say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm mature. But I see that the gift of God is working in this person more. Remember when even those of Peter said that, we saw that the grace of God was working in the life of Paul among the Gentiles, the same way the grace of God was working in the life of Peter among the Jews. So they gave him the right hand of fellowship. So even in the body of Christ, you're going to realize that each of us have different gifts, but we are one body of Christ. And that's why even as we read ahead, maybe we can just read ahead from verse 12. The Bible says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So he's saying, for as the body is one, like our normal body is one and has many members, but all the members of one body being many are one body, so is Christ. So verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? ? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on this we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed this in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now, you know, Paul is one great teacher, and one of the things that we learn from Paul is that we see that step by step, he is able to give us, you know, illustrations for learning. And he tells you, look at your own body. Your body has one eye, or rather two eyes. It has ear. It has a stomach. It has internal organs. And he's saying there are organs that are hidden. You can imagine, you don't see your heart. But your heart is very important. He's saying that the unpresentable parts are still as important as the And God has given them greater honor. That means that without your heart, which you cannot see, you will not live. But your whole body cannot be just a heart. Your whole body cannot just be an eye. Imagine if we were only one eye. How will we move from one place to another? You're just walking around and you're seeing one big eye walking. It's not possible. So, and he's using this analogy to tell us that in the body of Christ, God has given us people with different gifts. And you are interdependent. That means that you cannot be an individual believer alone. You cannot just be alone and think that everything is just perfect. No, there is a reason why God gave us a body of Christ. There's a reason why God gave us a church. In fact, he says, I will build my church. He does not speak of the individual person. God has always looked at us, all Christians, as one body. And he says that there are those that are outside that can be seen. There are those that are hidden, but they are still as important as those that cannot be seen. So this is something that when you start to understand this, then you start to pray for churches. Then you start to pray for Christians, even those Christians who you think that don't deserve to be prayed for. You pray for them. Why? Because you understand that they are still part of the body of Christ. They might not have the right knowledge, but that does not mean that God did not die for them. Christ died for them. And Christ is concerned for each and every person. And he continues to desire that they come to know him. And that's why the Bible is telling us that each and every part of the body has a function. Now, for you, once you know that each and every one of us, we are one body, the question you must ask yourself, now you as that part of the body of Christ, what are you doing to make the body whole? Imagine if one of your hands stops working, your whole body is going to suffer. Likewise also, when God has given us as gifts in the body of Christ, and each of us has a gift for the body of Christ, if that you as your gift, you don't serve God, your hand does not work, does not serve, then the body is going to suffer. So each of us is given a role. And one of the ways that you will know what God has asked you to do is you will always have a burden for that thing. You will see there is a gap in this thing. You'll be asking yourself, but why are these people not praying like this? Or why are these people not meeting for fellowship? Or why are these people not, you know, not reading the word of God like this? Or why are the musicians not doing this? Anytime you ask yourself such questions, or you feel in your heart that, but this thing can be painted better, that is a function that God has revealed to you, and he is actually asking you to do it. And he has given you, he has revealed it to you. That means that when it is revealed to you, then that means God is able and has given you the ability to be able to handle it. So you have a responsibility to hear the voice of God and to know that you are part of the body. Remember, God is saying that we are all members of different parts, but we are members of one body. Just as we are members of one body, we are members of one spirit. We are baptized into one spirit, into one faith, into one God, into one baptism. All this is about the unity of the body and the unity of the spirit. God desires that we be united. And never feel like there is competition. You know, you find at times people are competing churches. Oh, my church is growing. Oh, the other person's church is going down. No. If God gives us the heart to see the body, and the wisdom to know how to serve one another, then God will say, the way Jesus said, by this they shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Where is our love if we are not concerned for one another, if we are not concerned for the body of Christ, if we are not concerned that our brothers are in pain and we are not doing something about it? Let us learn to depend on one another. Let us learn to ask one another for prayer. Let us learn to speak to one another, to encourage each other, that when we are connected together, then we can be able to grow. Connected, we are connected, we are encouraged, we are strengthened, and that is why the Bible says, let us not forsake the meeting together of brethren. As long as there is a chance to be together in prayer as a family, always take advantage of it. Always take advantage of it. Why? Because alone, you will crash. Alone, you will collapse. Alone, you are going to fall into sin. But when you are connected, you are encouraged, you are strengthened. One among you will say something and it will encourage you. One among you will encourage you. Even leaders, they need the members. If you're a leader and you don't have anyone to hear you, then you're not a leader. Even the members need the leaders to be able to guide. So each and every one of us are interdependent. And whenever we are part of the body, then we are faithful and we are committed. I'm going to stop here for today. And you can take your feedback on today's message and as God leads you. Yeah, over. You're welcome. Amen. You have any additions? Yeah, go ahead.
It's good. It's okay for myself.
It's good? Okay.
Yeah, it's good. Good.
Jacqueline, welcome. Any comments on your side?
Amen. Thank you so much. I joined late.
No problem.
I've just learned,
Regarding
the spirit of knowledge.
Yeah.
And wisdom. Mm. You know, sometimes I feel they go hand in hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So that my prayer is always that may God sharpen our knowledge, that we may know him more.
Mm.
Because as he reveals himself to us, we can also know how to present ourselves to him.
Mm.
Because one thing that always also the Holy Spirit remind me on the holiness of God.
Mm.
Because when you have the knowledge, you know even how to go before him as God.
Yeah.
And he's always God ready to hear us.
Mm.
But thank you so much for the word.
Amen. 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 Yeah, let's pray and then we can be able to do other things after that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace, O God, that you've spoken to us in a language that we understand, that we are members of one body. You've given us unique gifts, unique manifestations of the Spirit that are not just for ourselves, but they are for the benefit of the church. And I pray for clarity of purpose, clarity of voice, that we shall be able to serve one another. We shall be able to serve you with the different gifts that you've given us. And I pray for the body that, Lord, indeed, may we be united as believers. May we be united in purpose. May we be united in serving you, in reaching out to the world, O God. I remember those that are struggling in various churches, in various parts of the world. That, Lord, you have connected us even this morning in various parts of the world, that indeed we are one body. We are reminded that you love us, that you are concerned for us. You are concerned for our children. You are concerned for our families, O God, that indeed you are able to watch over them, to protect and preserve them, to keep and watch over them, O God. I pray for your hand and power. May your healing hand continue to flow in our lives. We look unto you, we trust in you, and we honor you, O God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom. And may you